All right, everybody, good morning and welcome to our second week in our I Want a New Marriage series. So excited to have you along for the ride here today. Thankful for all those listening online with us as well. But I'm gonna share a little bit of a story kind of throughout my message today about a couple named George and Marie. George and Marie were a good old couple that were really just living right outside of Fort Wayne. Had their own farm. And they really just began to get real, just kind of frustrated in their own marriage, specifically George. And so much so that he just didn't feel like Marie was ever listening to a word that he was saying. So he on his own called the doctor and said, hey, he said, I'd like to schedule an appointment to get Marie in for a hearing test. And he said, the office said, okay, well, the soonest we can get her in is in 2 weeks. He said, I don't have 2 weeks. He said, I need this right now. He said, well, the best we can do for you, George, is 2 weeks. He said, well, what can I do for the next 2 weeks to just try to help her a little bit? And they said, well, we'll recommend this. Let's just see how bad it really is. Start with, maybe about, 40 feet from her and talk to her and just see if she's listening to you and if she'll respond back. He said, all right. He said, well, I can do that. So he comes home from work and Marie's in the kitchen making dinner and he's about 40 feet away. And so he starts out about 40 feet away and he says, hey, Marie, he said, what are we having for dinner tonight? And just absolute silence. Nothing was said. And so he thought, okay. So he went up 10 more feet. So now he's about 30 feet away. He said, hey, Marie, he said, what are we having for dinner tonight? And she still is not responding. He goes 20 feet away now and asks the same question. What are we having for dinner tonight, Marie? And still not a word. He's getting real frustrated at this time. Then he goes 10 feet. He says, Marie, what are we having for dinner? And still no response. So finally he gets up in her face. He says, Marie, because I've asked you 4 different times, what are we having for dinner? And she looked back and she said, and for the 5th time, we're having chicken. I didn't know if some of y'all would get that. All right, a few might get it later, but that's good. We're gonna listen on George and Marie a little bit later. Malachi chapter 2. Grab your message notes if you already haven't. Let's get in the word here today. It says, God says this. He says, I hate divorce, says the God of Israel. I hate the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. So watch yourselves. Don't let your guard down and don't cheat. I love this picture so much because, again, we live in just such a culture and such a world of that quitting is just easy to do. It's frustrating to me because I believe we're raising up generations of quitters. And not just even in the context of marriages. I'm just talking about just things in general. I'm a competitive guy. And so, like, I'm not real big on sports that you don't win in. Like, everybody gets a ribbon. Like, you ain't, this is my opinion, all right? I understand that. But you ain't teaching my kid nothing, all right? So I need to make sure my kid knows how to lose well, too. All right, I don't like losing. I just like winning a lot more. You know what I'm talking about in here, all right? And so anyway, I just think we just are seeing that in our nation. And I think what is happening is it's easy to do. And it's the easy way out. But I love how God puts the picture of our marriages in this context and saying it's one flesh. You leave your parents and you join together as one flesh. Everybody say one flesh. And so the best marriage, though, is the one that we are in. And I believe that no matter what it takes, I believe it's easier to work on the marriage that you're in than starting over and trying to do this thing all over again. And I honestly just simply believe that marriages are failing at a massive rate in our country because we're not embracing biblical principles that God has for our marriage. So I think it's why it's so important that we do series like this that help our marriages, that help our singles, because I'm going to talk to you in just a minute for those that are single in the house today, but I think it's so important. And I want to just say this too, because I said it last week, and I just want to remind you today that I'm here today and we're not condemning at all any of those that have fallen victim to divorce. Here's what I know. I realize that things happen. I know there's things that sometimes are just out of your control that happen. My parents divorced when I was at a very young age, and so we're not judging anything you've done or saying that you are wrong. So I want to make sure everyone understands that today. But our heart is this, that we want to come alongside you. We want to love you. We want to care for you. And then we want to give you some biblical principles that will help you if you so choose to marry again. And we want to see your life and marriage be successful in all that God has. And so for the singles in the house, I want to encourage you not to check out. because there is a lot of relational principles that we gave last week and some this week. And I want to say specifically next week, if you're single in the house, God has given me something specifically for you. And so next week's message is going to be tailored to our married couples and our singles, but it's going to be a little bit different for me in my approach in it. And so I'm really excited about it because it's something that the Lord laid on my heart several weeks ago for those that want to be married at some point. But I would say this, if you're in a place today, whether you're a single woman, single man, and you desire to get married, because I've had singles ask me before, man, what do you think is the key? What do you think that I need to do to find that special someone? And I would just simply tell you this, you have got to become all that God has just called you to be. And it's amazing when you get lost in God's purpose for your life, it's amazing what just begins to happen for you. And so I would just encourage us just to continue down that. And I've got some things even next week I'm going to share with you that's just going to kind of further that. But those who feel today, and I've really been praying over this message today because this is a message that I think every one of us has got to hear. It's something not even I really just think for our marriage, even though it's probably the primary message, obviously, for our marriages. But it's also, I think, just a relational principle in life. And that's just good communication. I think some of our the greatest struggles in our marriages is because communication is suffering. And we have got to grow and we have got to mature and we've got to do a better job communicating to each other. And as it relates to, you know, growing our marriages and seeing our marriage become all that God has for our marriage to be. How many want to see your marriage become stronger in Jesus' name? Amen. You know, a stat that I read this week that really just brings this point home is that the average marriage only spends 4 minutes a day in conversation. 4 minutes, everybody. And gang, that's not enough time. And you know, when I saw that stat, I actually shared it on social media, and it was just kind of interesting, the responses I got. I even had one person that responded back, and I didn't ask for any responses, but sometimes people do, and that's fine. But said, man, I can relate to that because probably the only conversation I have is the conversation on the phone with my husband through the day, and that's it. And I think what also tends to happen is with the 4 minutes that we do have with each other, we really just inflict more pain in those 4 minutes than anything. Instead of just sometimes heartfelt, just conversations. And we've got to have more time than that. That's just the bottom line. That's not a standard. We need to rise above the standard of that stat of 4 minutes. And so we've got to learn how to grow. We've got to learn how to navigate through times and moments of conflict and learn how to do that successfully and do it in a healthy way. I think we've got to mature in our marriages and we've got to get beyond the yelling, the finger pointing. We've got to get beyond the hand in the face, come on, don't talk to me. And we've got to get beyond the silent treatment. You'll be amazed how often in marriages that I've had the opportunity to counsel, how many times that I have seen the silent treatment in action. You would think it's just a kid thing. No, trust me. We as adults sometimes don't act our age too. Come on, somebody, all right? And so in my heart is to help us build a successful, healthy marriage because that's what God desires for us. So I just titled this message today real simple, just can we talk? I mean, can we talk? Can we have conversations? And maybe when's the last time you and your spouse sat down and had just a heart-to-heart conversation and just poured out everything out on the table and just worked through things? But can we talk? And here's what I realize is a lot of times our conversation and our communication doesn't go the direction that we were hoping for it to go. And that's what I really want to start off with this morning is giving you some components that I think lead to conflict. And I think if you'll become aware of these things, I think it'll bring a healthy conviction in your life so that you'll be aware of when you're saying some things maybe you shouldn't be saying, all right? So let's look at the first one. And I think this is one of the first components, and that's jot this down. It's complaining. Oh, my goodness. So we start complaining. You know, the wife says, man, you know, you haven't mowed and so long that our yard is looking like a jungle. I think there's extra animals living around our house because the yard has not been mowed. You know, then the husband will say things like, well, you know, will you actually make something for dinner that I enjoy eating? You know, and then, come on, y'all, we all have these kind of moments, all right? Or then you hear, you know, something said, you know, around about something like this, the wife, you know, do you really have to work that late all the time? Do you really have to stay at the office that late? Or one of the worst ones, guys, I'm going to caution you on this. Be real careful on this one, all right? But hearing things said like, you know, you're at home all day with the kids. What are you actually doing? Oh, yeah, ooh, is right. Let me just tell you something. That's like a death sentence. I'm telling you, you don't want to say that. I think, listen, some of the hardest working women are also those that are at home with our kids. And so, yeah, I love my kids with everything within me. But man, daddy can only take so much. And there's just a grace upon y'all mamas, and I'm thankful for it, all right? But here's what happens is we tend to complain. And here's what I believe complaining is, all right? And if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. But I think this, that complaining really is a sign of selfishness. And so as you're complaining, and here goes the argument is starting to brew, it's amazing what is happening in us, and a lot of the complaining is rooted in self. Jude 1:16, it says, "These people grumble and complain and live by their own selfish desires. They brag about themselves and flatter others to get what they want." I think this verse is so good because this is an underlining theme, I think, to what's happening in a lot of our marriages here today, that we struggle and the struggle becomes very real. And sometimes we start kicking, we scream, we manipulate to get our way and whatever it takes. And I think it happens a lot because culture also gives us such a great example in doing that. And so we've got to be careful. Proverbs 21:19. Says it's better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. Now, before you get too excited, guys, we could mark that word out and put husband there too, all right? And just so we all know. And so if there's one thing, you know, here's what I want to just remind you of. I don't have the perfect marriage. I don't have the perfect kids, all right? So Bethy and I are continuing to try to grow in our marriage and our kids. But I feel like if there's one thing that Bethy and I do well, it is communicating. I feel like if there's one thing that we have continued to be very intentional about, it is our communication. And so that's something that we started, I really believe, before when we were engaged to even when in our first few years of marriage, and especially that first year, because the first year for some can be challenging. You're really getting a good picture of that one that you've been in love with for so long and realizes he or she never picks up any clothes, all right, forgets to put the tube back on the toothpaste. Come on, somebody, all right? And so that the problems are real, but communication is so vital. I mean, there's some days, you know, for Bethany and I too, you know, especially after her being with the kids and I come home, that she needs maybe a little time. It doesn't happen a lot of times, but time that she just wants to go to Target by herself. And she makes it known, I'm going to Target, but I'm going alone. And then she grabs the keys and she's threatening, anybody that wants to go with me, it's not happening today. No, she didn't do that. But there's moments, there's moments that mama just needs some time, and I get it and I understand. And there's times that I do too. And so we try to really communicate, and we just made that decision that even in the times of conflict that we are going to make a vow to each other and before the Lord that we're going to work this thing out. We're not going to let the sun go down on our wrath. We're going to work this out. We're not going to wake up to the next day with issues and mess going on. We're going to work it out. If we got to turn on the coffee late and be up late together, and we've done that. You know, we're going to work it out, but we're going to seek to communicate, because here's what I realize. The more you complain, the bigger the wedge comes between your relationship and your marriages that drive you separate from each other. And so you got to be careful. So we complain. And then here's the other thing. Jot this down. We start arguing. Arguing really begins to kick in. Complaints, this is really what happens. Complaints turn into arguments. You know, the yard is still not mowed. Why is the yard still not mowed? And for the unmarried men, I want to just help you today, all right? Because I love you and I'm for you, all right? And just give you some wisdom. But engaging in arguments with her is just not wise. It's really a foolish thing to do, and something I've learned. And I think whatever triggers an argument in that moment, I've realized this, anything that has taken place in the past has now become fair game, all right? And you got to be careful. Now, at my house, we have a 7-day void policy. If it's after 7 days, baby, I've forgotten it. I don't know. You know, and it's amazing to me because we just are not equipped to win this battle. Because women are amazing because they have this catalog computer in their brain that, man, they don't forget nothing. I mean, you know, they remember the weather, if it was sunny or rainy that day. They remember what you were wearing. I mean, just forget it, guys, all right? Just forget it, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, I love this verse. It says, stay away from stupid and senseless arguments. They only lead to trouble. Because arguments end up, if we're not careful, just spiraling out of control. And we've had moments in our marriage that I'm like, what are we fighting about anyway? Like, what is this? Like, what are we talking about? You know, and that's what this scripture is saying. But here's what I believe. And as I was working on this message this week, I really believe that every argument usually goes back to the problems that we really do have in the relationship. And I believe that's true. I believe that there's some within us that we have a few issues, two or three issues, that for every argument, it really stems back to the root of what's happening in you and maybe the lack of things that's not really being communicated or dealt with. And so I think it's important that we see that Proverbs 21:23 says this, that if you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say. Guys, you got to be wise. You got to be wise. In every argument, the woman always has the last word, because here's what I've learned. Anything a man says after that is the beginning of a new argument. So heed the wisdom. All right, everybody? All right, man. And here's the last one I want to give you here today. And this is one of the most dangerous ones. So we go from complaining, we go to a place of arguing, and then it gets real ugly, and that is belittling. And this is where, man, I have seen this. I've sat in many of meetings, many of counseling settings, and I have seen belittling in front of me. Now, when I've met with married couples, they don't do that in front of me. I just let them know up front, you know, how you live your life at home is how you live it, but when you're with me, you're going to at least respect me enough, because I don't want to listen to it, all right? We're going to respect each other and love each other, but this is where long-term damage happens, and it gets ugly. We start saying things that are really just mean, or cruel, or hurtful. And it really does have a long-term effect. It's in a place that I believe that we become very ruthless with one another, and we say things that we really, I think, don't mean, but we're trying to inflict as much pain as possible, and usually oftentimes just to try to prove a point. In Proverbs 11:12, it says, "It is foolish to belittle one's neighbor, but a sensible person keeps quiet." If you'll notice in this message today, there are a lot of scriptures that we're sharing as it relates to communication and the power of your words, because your words carry so much weight. You're going to see in a verse later, we're out of the Message Bible, man, just how much weight it really does carry. And so we're in a place that all of a sudden the fights start happening, and they become so often that the dangerous thing begins to set in, and that is the silent treatment. And I want everybody to listen to me, what I'm getting ready to say, because this is a huge warning to you. And it's a huge warning for your marriage. And this is, and singles, you need to hear this as well too. And this is good wisdom for you. When the silent treatment is set in and there's no more communication that's happening. And then what happens is we start looking for other people to talk to. And we try to, here's what happens is when we're wounded and when we're hurt and things take place, here's what happens is we look for allies to help support our pain. We want people to understand us. We want people to side with us. So we try to run to people really who will simply be in agreement with us. And I say this, we have got to be extremely careful on that. You know, one of the things that we do in our premarital counseling with those that are engaged, and something Bethany and I have shared and our pastors share now with as we counsel those, is when conflict happens, because it's not a question, it's going to happen. Why? Because you're human. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. Your flesh, you stink, all right? It's just the way it is. We're going to have moments that we just stink it up, so to speak, all right? Maybe in more ways than one, all right? That's a whole nother message, all right? But what we need to realize is we're gonna be human. We're going to have those issues sometimes. We talked a little bit about that in last week's message, and we've got to give room for each other. The thing that we tell our premarital, and when we go into premarital counseling with our couples, is when conflict arises, you've got to know who to go and who not to go to. And here's what we've learned very early on in our marriage. One of the most dangerous things that sometimes we can do is go to just, our family. Why? Well, your family's always going to side with you. And so we've got to be careful sometimes on that. We've got to understand the situation and discern that. You know, you go run to mom, go run to dad, or go, you know, we sometimes have to use wisdom and be very careful, because they'll always side with their child. And so here's what we encourage, and I encouraged this last week. It's why everybody needs a counselor. It's why everybody needs a pastor. It's why everybody needs a friend. And a friend is someone who is a godly mentor in your life. So I'm not saying you don't need people. That's not what I'm saying. You need people that are not impressed by you. You need people that are honest with you always. that will love you right where you're at and even tell you when you're wrong. And so I know this isn't real popular, real fun, real preachy amen type message so far, all right? But here's what I'm encouraging you to listen to this counsel this morning, because I'm just telling you, if you will have ears that will hear what the voice of the Lord is saying, it's going to help some of you. It's really going to help bring you from a place of frustration, and because you've got so many voices and you got to be careful. So we tell the engaged couples, you got to be careful. You know, it's one of the things my pastor told me when Bethany and I were going through our premarital. He says, hey, he said, if conflict arises, you can come to us and we'll sit down and talk about it. He said, Kyle, but you can't go run off and just talk to your parents, you know, and Bethany to your, you know, because they're just going to side with them. And so I think sometimes we have extra family drama, all right, that happens because we got to be careful of who sometimes we're talking to. And I'm not saying you can't talk to your family. So don't go here saying, well, Pastor Kyle's saying I can't talk to my family anymore. That's not what Pastor Kyle said today. All right. All right. So we need to understand the voices that are in our life. Here's a lesson that I learned. My parents, and I talk about this a little bit from time to time, but I've never went in depth, and I asked them both for permission this past week on this, and my dad and my mom, because they were married for close to 17 years before they got a divorce. And before I got married to Bethany, I sat down with my mom separately from my dad, and I just said, hey, just give me some advice, give me some counsel. And what have you learned? And I mean, it's a humbling place for them because, you know, the cool thing about it, though, is both my mom and dad have remarried. I've got a wonderful stepdad. I've got a wonderful stepmom that I'm thankful for. And if you don't know, man, they go to church here. My dad and my stepmom drive from Kokomo to be up here and serve. And my mom and stepdad moved up here from South Florida. And they go to the same church and like each other. That's awesome. It's awesome. And so it was interesting when I was in that situation when I had that opportunity with them and asked them what they learned, and they basically both said the same thing. It was really interesting to me, and they said this. They said, first of all, we stopped talking. They said we stopped talking. We gave each other the silent treatment. We quit. We stopped having fun together. We stopped laughing together. And they both described this next point as just, this was massive to me. They said when we went to bed at night, it was like a brick wall was laying between us. There was nothing. And both of them were emotional when they were telling me this. And I'm just encouraging us today, we've got to talk. We've got to talk. We've got to communicate. Proverbs 11:13 says this, that a gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. You got to be careful who you're talking to. Everyone needs a godly mentor in your life. And, you know, and for my dad, for my mom in that season, they really didn't have anybody that they could really go to and work it out. And so, ladies, you've got to be careful who you're talking to. And I want to challenge every woman in the house, don't be bad-mouthing your husband with your friends. Mm-mm. That's just disrespectful. It's not honoring. And you got to be careful who you're talking to, and have a friend that loves Jesus. Have a friend that's not impressed by you, like I said. Men, you got to communicate. Listen, guys, here's what I know. We struggle with this. This is a struggle for us as guys, but we have to talk. We have to communicate. And guys, I'm going to push on you today and say, for some of us, we may be overdue. We need to communicate and talk and open up and get honest about whatever is going on in our life. And let me just say this, guys. When issues are happening within your marriage, don't ever talk to a female about your marriage issues. We're trying to protect marriages, everybody. And that's my heart as your pastor. And so it would be easy to do that, but we must be careful. We must find that friend, find that counselor, that pastor. And, you know, a godly mentor is one who won't just sit and talk with you and allow you to badmouth your spouse with you in the room. A godly mentor will check you and say, no, we're not going there. We're going to see how God can fix this. Because at the end of the day, the more we talk about things, it's gossip, it's sin, the Bible says. So we got to learn how to take things to authority. You know, something I challenge our leadership with, and just even actually when I was in business and when I was working in Columbus, Ohio, that whenever there's an issue, you never take it laterally, you always take it up. You always take it to authority that can actually bring change to something. So I want to help you navigate some conflict. Y'all ready for this morning? I want to help you. This, what I'm getting ready to give you is just out of this one verse, and then we're just going to build this, and then we're going to have a time of just prayer here today. James 1:19, powerful verse. It should be a life verse for all of us. Says this, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone, everybody say everyone. Actually, I want you guys to help me read this. You ready? Here we go. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Leave that up there, guys, for a minute. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Well, think about one verse, how much that could change your life. Just in the journey, just in your relationship, just in your marriage and your kids and your family. So here's what we got to do. Number one, you've got to pay attention. You've got to pay attention. You've got to know what's happening and listening. Guys, let me help you, because I told you I wanted to help you today with listening. So I want us to grow in our listening, fellas, all right? That means when she's talking that we're not watching SportsCenter while she's talking. Oh, come on. All right. That means... All right. Here's what else that means, because I've done this and I'm guilty of it, is, man, I think that text or that email is so important on my phone that it's got to get out while she's talking. And all of a sudden she's talking and I'm doing it, and all of a sudden there's silence in the room. She quit talking. And then, ooh, man, the big question comes, the one I just fear, ooh, makes me tremble, is, baby, are you listening to me? I mean, it just sends chills up my spine. I think sometimes I even pee a little bit. I'm so scared, you know. I'm just, whew, it is a real deal. I get a little nervous, you know. But pay attention. Really listen. Know what's going on. Listen to it. Means the world to her. I'm telling you, Proverbs 10:19. It says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. He who holds his tongue is wise. Here's the next thing that we got to do. Number two. This is so important. We've got to seek to understand. The problem with a lot of communication is we seek to be understood rather than we seek to understand. And there really is a big difference. Understanding each other. And I believe this, that when you really understand each other, it's going to drastically change your relationship and improve it when you really get a hold of this. So here's what I've learned. Bethany doesn't need me when she's talking to me and sharing things. She doesn't need me to just fix her problems. And I learned that pretty quick. I remember, you know, because the way I'm wired is, you give me a problem, I'm going to help you solve it. That's just part of the way I'm wired. And I had to learn that, you know, especially in the home, to be a husband and not a pastor. I think some pastors, we just get caught up doing that, and we got to be real careful of that, even just as leaders. Or we take that job title that we have in the workplace and sometimes take that home to us. But guess what? As wives, they need their husbands. They don't need the guy that's working there or doing this. They need their husbands. And so what I have growing to continue to realize that when she's talking, man, she's wanting to say something to me. Most of the time, what they are communicating is not really what they're saying. And so I don't listen to what she is saying, but what she is communicating. And I understand that probably just confused every one of you, what I just said. So let me say it this way and make it real easy. When she says the grass needs mowed, man, our house is an embarrassment, and I ignore that. What basically that's communicating to her is she doesn't feel valued. She doesn't feel honored. And so I'm trying to do a better job of continuing to grow to understand her and understand her communication. This helping anybody, I hope? Proverbs 29:20 says, there's more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. You know, what I realize is the best of us in here today have made mistakes. The best of us have wounded each other and hurt each other. But a marriage really that is in love with God and centered on Christ learns to let go, learns to be able to move forward in God's plan and God's purpose. Number three is you have to watch your emotions. Oh, my goodness. This is so important. Watch your emotions. We get sometimes so frustrated in the process that we allow emotions to get the best of us. And sometimes when we're dealing with pain and we're dealing with hurt, we start making emotional decisions, which is never good. And we start doing things, and I just encourage you, never make a decision out of an emotion or a feeling. It'll cost you. I've literally seen people make emotional decisions out of an emotion or feeling or something that's happened, and it'd be one of the most detrimental things that's ever happened to their life. It's destroyed them. Because every decision that you need to make in your life has always got to come in line with the word. You just have to live your life that way. You have to live your life making up your mind that I'm not going to live my life anywhere else but doing what the word of God teaches me to do. And that's how I'm going to live. Amen? So true marriage understands that. And so, but what happens is when our emotions start festering up and things are said to us and we go through the complaining, the arguing, the belittling, we start going into defense mode, which is never good. And threats start coming and we start saying things we don't really mean. And so George and Marie, how many of you still remember George and Marie from earlier? You know, when they got married, they set out to have a honeymoon. And at that time, all George had was just a horse and a wagon. And so after they got married, they went out on the road and off they went. And as they went down the road, the horse stopped right in the middle of the road. And Marie got off the wagon and went right up to the horse and looked at the horse. And she said, "That's strike one." She went back on the wagon, and George just kind of gave her a look like, okay, that was weird. And so they kept going a little bit further, and so out off they went. Then the horse stops again in the middle of the road, and Marie gets off, and she goes up to the horse, looks him in the eye, and says, "Strike two." She goes back and sits back on the wagon again. So George is kind of freaking out a little bit, thinking, man, she's talking to the horse. I don't know what's happening. So they continue to go on a little bit farther, and you guessed it. The horse stops for a third time in the middle of the road, but this time, Maria goes to the back of the wagon. She grabs a shotgun, goes back to in front of the horse, and she said, "That's strike three," and blows his head off. Yeah, I know. And so George is looking at her like, "Are you serious?" So she gets back, sits up with him on the wagon. He said, "Woman, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?" He said, "We were headed on a honeymoon. Now we have nowhere to go. We're going to sit here now because of you." And she said, "George, that's strike one." So here's my point, is we make threats and we say things we don't mean oftentimes that we got to be careful of. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, says, "Consider what a great forest," this is such a powerful verse, "consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. It sets the whole course of his life on fire and itself set on fire by hell." The smallest things can turn about a fire set by hell just by your words. Think about it. And remember, I said this last week to you, one of Satan's greatest fears is to see a marriage united. Satan will constantly try to divide and attack and oppose your marriage. He doesn't want you united. Trust me, he doesn't want you loving each other, loving Jesus, nor seeing your kids grow up and love Jesus. He's working overtime to see that that does not happen. But I shared a verse with you last week that I think is so important. I wanted to read it again this week out of Song of Songs 2:15. "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." It's the little things that go unchecked in our lives, in our personal lives, in our marriages that can have a damaging effect and destroy things. Husbands and wives, you got to realize this today, that you are on the same team. You're on the same team. No matter his issues or her issues, you are on the same team. You are allies, not enemies. Enemies seek out each other's weaknesses, but it's allies who seek out each other's strengths. And I believe as marriages, we've got to grow in that love and support, that even when we struggle and even when we go through something, that as a spouse, we're the first one there to pick our loved one up and say, "Baby, I got you. Let's keep going." Come on, are you here today, church? Amen. So we've got to be there. We've got to support. We've got to start seeing each other as a team, because that's who we are. We've got each other's back. We're one. Everybody say we're one. And then here's what we got to do. Last one today is speak words of life. Speak words of life. You'll be amazed just by the words that you speak, how it can change the atmosphere of your home. I'm telling you something right now. For us in our house, this is something we protect, is the atmosphere of our home. There's too much drama in the world. I need peace in my home. Bethany needs peace in her home. We together want and desire peace. I ain't got time for drama. Save the drama for your mama, because we ain't got time for it. Ain't got time for it. Don't want it. So we protect the house. We protect the atmosphere. And simply put, the words that you speak can literally change an atmosphere, can change the climate of your home. Proverbs says this in chapter 15, verse 4. It's the tongue that brings healing. It's a tree of life. Proverbs 18, 21. I love this out of the Message Bible. Other versions say it's death or life in the power of the tongue, but I like this one. It says words kill, words give life. They're either poison or they're fruit. You choose. I believe in relationships and marriages and friendships and any relationship that we must choose life in all things. Choose life. You can bring life. You can bring healing just based upon what you are saying. Men, you have the ability to release the potential in your wife. Your wife is a reflection of your character. And it's our job as husbands to help her reach her fullest potential. As a husband, we've got to position her to succeed. You know, we've got a small group that's going on right now and doing one of my favorite curriculums because it's helped me and it's helping so many people on love and respect. And I love what's said in there because we're different. Ladies, you're different. Men, you're different. That's why we don't always, you know, connect like we're supposed to, because we're not wrong, just different. Different. We hear with blue. Ladies, you hear with pink. We're just different. But even in that, we have to work together to grow. We have to work together making up our minds. Ladies, listen, don't point out everything he's doing wrong. I'm telling you, that's a recipe for allowing him just to grow farther from you. But speak the best in him. As men, we are drawn to environments of honor. And we need that. As men, that's what we need. Ephesians says this, chapter 4, verse 29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Jimmy Evans, I love him so much. He's an incredible man of God, pastored a church for years, does a lot of marriage conferences all across the nation. He made this statement, I thought this was so good. He said, when there is a drought in your marriage and everything looks dead, there is still seed in that soil. It just needs a little bit of water. I believe this today, that there is no marriage that God cannot heal, that God can heal and touch any marriage. Y'all here today? Amen. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just close your eyes right here and bow your head. If your wife or husband's next to you, I want you just to grab their hand for a minute. Because here's what I want to do. I want to pray. And I'm believing God that no matter where you're at right now in the journey, that something, and in this series, that God is stirring some things in you. Here's what I realize. I can continue to preach and teach messages like this, but it really doesn't mean anything if there's no application in your life. And God is saying, will you apply that which I'm trying to show you? And I believe in the last 2 weeks, man, the Holy Spirit's just helping us. And we need help. We need adjustments. Marriage is all about growing together. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak over every marriage. Marriage, maybe, Lord, there may be some today that's frustrated, that are contemplating giving up, and I declare no in Jesus' name. There's no marriage in here that cannot be helped by God, and I just pray the supernatural power of God to fall on every marriage in Jesus' name right now. Maybe there's some that has felt distant in your marriage, and your communication maybe is just not where it needs to be, and this message is just resonating within your heart. And I just pray today, God, for every marriage right now, that communication begin to grow to a new place right now in Jesus' name. May they value, oh God, what you value. Father, I pray for right voices in their life. And any voices that are negative, condescending in any kind of way, it's time to make an adjustment. It's time to redefine relationships again in the name of Jesus. So God, I speak the life and encouragement of God over every marriage right now. I speak over every single man and woman in this room today, that Father, that has the desire that one day they want to be married, that Father, that you position them right now with a confidence, with an expectancy and a hope that you are preparing them. And Father, that they would be men and women, God, that would embrace and become everything that you have called them to do. May they get lost in your purpose. Father, may they have a conviction in their own life, not to just settle for anybody, but God, to wait and to settle for what's best, and that's your best. So Father, I just speak that over everyone here in this room today. As every head just continues to remain bowed, if you're here this morning and you just have identified that, you know what, I'm without the Savior in my life. Kyle, I hear you talking about these principles, but man, I need to start right there. And that's okay. If you're here today and Jesus is not Lord of your life, he's not first in your life, you need to make him first today. Without any ashamement today, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come down to the front, I'm just going to ask you in just a moment to slip your hand up in the air if you say, Kyle, man, that's me. I have got to make a decision to put Jesus first in everything. It may be a marriage that you need to put him first together, and you know it, and this is your opportunity here today. With every head bowed, and no, nobody's looking around, but without any ashamement today, on the count of three, I want you to throw your hands straight up in the air. Come on, I want you to be real honest with God today. He wants to come and wants to touch you right where you're at. One, two, three, all over this room. Come on, let me see the hands. Thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Proud of you, man. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Man, people engaging right now. We're going to just say a prayer. And I just want you, Scripture says, just mean it. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. We're just as a church, we're going to pray too with you. But just mean this in your heart and say something like this. Jesus, I give you my life. You're an amazing God. I thank you for your love for me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for wiping my past clean. Thank you for dying on a cross for me, but raising again. Jesus, I give you everything. My life belongs to you. Lead me, give me direction. In Jesus' name. Come on, and if you really are thankful for all that God has done this morning, come on, let's put our hands together for Jesus today. Come on, we bless you, God.